Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Do as I do more than I do as I say, not as I do.
And so when he gives this command, here is the methodology is in verse 7. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and walk by the way when thou liest down, when thou risest up. So basically it's a thing of 24/7 looking for opportunity to teach our children. He talks about when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, in other words, at home, when you're out, and also before you go to bed or when you rise up. In other words, it's an all-encompassing thing of letting your children know that all day long is a relationship with God, and God is in control all day long, and teaching them that if you stay in communication, stay in fellowship with God, this is the way that God will take care of you, and you'll be blessed during the day, during the time that you are awake, when you get up, when you go to the store, when you're at home. Your children should see you as someone who's consistently living a godly character. And you know, this is what God is saying that we should keep. So we got a caller on the line. So we get the caller in. Last four digits, 4061. 4061, you're on there.
Hello, good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Lord. I was glad to see the sunshine this morning. And God is still blessing, still has the situation under control. It's a good thing, you know, situation under control. And this morning when I was talking about teaching children, yesterday I had a role for most of the day of teaching my son from early in the morning to early at night to late at night, and we were working on a vehicle. We were putting new exhaust in the vehicle, and from the time we got up, you know, to the time I went to bed about 11 o'clock, we were engaged and we were working together, talking together, running into issues, running into problems, communicating with people, and the whole time we were able to handle it in a godly manner. And so that whole day was a day of teaching, not only verbally, but also spiritually toward him. And I think that's so important for people to see that it's not just something that you do on Sunday, but it's something that you live every day. Any comment on that, Dr. Brown?
No, I agree. And I agree with something you said earlier about the importance of leading by example and not just trying to say, you know, do as I say, because children more is caught than taught, and they are going to mimic the behaviors that they see, because that's when they see something over and over again, it becomes something that they do. Most children look up to their parents. They're their first role model, and so they seek to be like mommy and daddy. And being like mommy and daddy means doing what mommy and daddy do. And so it's hard for a child to do what you say when if what you say doesn't line up with what you do.
Interesting. Interesting. I like the way you put that. So what type of the reaction you say would be difficult for them to do? What type of reaction would we see from a child that says, okay, you say one thing, you do something? What type of reactions would that bring?
Well, I mean, case in point, let's say the kid's in school and they have an altercation with somebody. Well, if we as a parent have taught our child to, hey, when somebody offends you, you're supposed to turn the other cheek and so on and so forth. But when the child observes us get angry or us get mad, we go off, we have an attitude, we get to rolling our neck and shaking our head and pointing our finger, you know, that's what they're going to learn is the right way to react. And in their mind, that's what they're going to do in that given situation.
Exactly. That's a great example. And I find that sometimes the teachers take on the role of their teachers. And when you have been taught something that is not correct, sometimes it's kind of hard not to keep, you know, we talk about generational curses or generational problems. Sometimes it's difficult to break those habits. But what I found is if you get around people or make it your point to get around people that are positive people that are doing the right thing, if you can make it your point to get around them, then and be willing to learn, then those people can teach you. You have to seek out the correct teacher. And then once you seek out the correct teacher and learn correctly, then you can teach someone else. But I think in our society with men, particularly men of color, now through the years, it's like the people that were teaching us, even though they might have good intentions, weren't teaching us the correct way. So we have to seek out teachers that will teach us the correct way. And number one teacher is the Holy Spirit and God. As the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God, but to seek out godly men on a regular, on a daily basis that will teach us the right way. And I think that will help break the cycle of the teaching that's not correct, Dr. Brown.
I agree with you. After working with the Board of Education, what I found, though, that one of the problems in that is that you sometimes have children who are in environments where they, you know, they're not at a point yet or an age yet to realize that what they're being taught is wrong. Because when you first come into the world and as a child, you know, what mommy and daddy do, that's what's right. And so until you're exposed to what's really right and exposed to the Word of God and exposed to church, sometimes the environment that one may be in and what we're learning, we assume to be right because this is what we're being taught. And so if that person, if that individual never gets exposed to something different, then when they have a child, they're teaching them what they were taught, not even realizing that what they're teaching and what they were taught was wrong in the first place.
And herein lies the challenge. I love the way you articulated that. Herein lies the challenge. And here goes the search to say, how do you deal with that? How do we address it? And not address it on just once or twice a year, but how do we address it on a regular basis where there's a outreach in those at-risk areas to say, hey, you know, check this out and present the proper way. How do we do that?
That's a tough question. It's a tough question. It's something that, in my personal humble opinion, will take a massive effort, you know, for the body of Christ to really, as a whole, take a vested interest in reaching out and going outside of the four walls of the church into the community and go out here and try to reach our brothers and sisters and show them it's a better way. I mean, the reality is that in a lot of instances, you have individuals who are trying to survive, and they're doing some of the wrong things that they're doing as a means of survival in their mind. They're taking care of their family, but it's because they have not been exposed to the Word of God to see the error in their ways. And so until then, they really, some people really don't even realize that they're doing wrong.
Like I said, and here, and thank you for articulating that, herein lies the problem. Is the church too busy entertaining each other? I know we go to church. We do a lot of entertainment, I think, sometimes. And not to say that worship is devoid of, you know, emotional input. But the emotional input that we receive at worship shouldn't just stop when the music and the singing is over, or the preaching is over, but it should be implemented not only first of all to our lives, but then the next level to take it out in a way that would expose those that don't know to the correct way. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm tracking with you.
it's like what vehicle or what vessel or what material or what venue, and I know we talked about this with our upcoming ministry launch of Unpacked. What would be the focus, or how will we get the body of Christ focused on this is the additional, and I'm going to use a corporate term, corporate America term, these are the other duties as assigned. In other words, yeah, you have a job description, or you have a responsibility as a Christian, as an individual, but you also have other duties as assigned. In other words, there's other assignments outside of just your normal, okay, I attend church on Sunday. How do we get the body of Christ to understand that there's other duties that have been assigned? Dr. Graham.
I would say that we would have to lead by example, like you said, because I think part of the problem is that it's a comfort zone thing. It's easier to minister to people that come into our environment, that come into the church, that are there, that we may feel are seeking something, that we may feel are open to the word. But as human beings, we tend to like to be comfortable. We tend to not like rejection. And I think when we talk about going out into the streets, that there is the element that exists in our minds that, you know what, some of these people that we're going to talk to today don't want to hear what I have to say. Some of these people are going to reject me. Some of these people may be nasty. When we talk about certain neighborhoods, oh, this neighborhood is dangerous. Am I going to be safe? And so it has become a thing more so to me of comfort. But if we trust God and we believe God and we're covered by his blood, then when we go into these neighborhoods, we understand that he's going with us. When we really get in a place of corporately preparing for things like this, when we pray, we've already sent out the word, and so God is already out there setting the atmosphere, and we just simply have to walk through and do what he said. Jesus said, go ye therefore, go, which means not to sit back and wait, but go forth and tell all nations, you know, so...
Yeah.
But I think maybe we have to just, at some point, maybe it takes just one or two crazy individuals that are just crazy enough to go out there and do it, and for then maybe people will follow suit.
Come alongside, and that comfort zone is a bad zone. It's not good for Christians. It's a reality when you know, even back when the book of Deuteronomy was written, it was a review of the law. Deuteronomy means a review of the law. In other words, these laws were spoken, and this was before they were getting ready to enter into the promised land, that there still needed to be teaching, and teaching of the love of God with everything you have, and that it would be an all day long. In other words, it's a part of you. And so I think that's the base. The base has to be taught. The Christian base has to be taught that sometimes we are our worst enemy because we're doing the do as I say, not as I do. And so there has to be a continuation of teaching the base to continue to live godly, and then the reaching out, and at the same time fighting the you know, attack of the enemy that says, well, you're no good. You can't go out there and teach and tell somebody because you're not doing, you know, doing it yourself. And I use, again, an example of yesterday spending time with my son, you know, all day long. You know, there were some things I was teaching him, and then there were some things that he was saying, hey, we can do this a better way, or try this or try that. And so it became an interacting of him understanding that I was always right. And he had the comfort to be able to say, hey, let's try this. And I think sometimes when you go out and reach out like that, that if you come as a self-righteous person, that people aren't willing to open up and say, hey, you know, you guys are doing this, but, you know, how about trying this, you know, and to be open with the people you come in contact with to let them know I'm not a perfect individual by no means. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to do the right thing. And if you come alongside, you know, we can, you know, with the two of us, can bounce stuff off each other and come up with a better way. Dr. Graham?
You know, what I heard when you saying that was that you were able to value his insight. And I think from experience, what I've observed sometimes when people come into the church and they're not as learned or they're not as spiritually minded as others, that we sometimes do have that self-righteous attitude of, oh, I know it, and I'm trying to teach you, not realizing that these individuals have something to input, just like how your son was able to give you some information and you were able to glean from him. And when we do that to people, they feel a sense of value. They feel that they're not just listening to you, not just walking beside you, but that they're walking with you. And I think that's a key component when we're dealing with people in ministry, is to find the value in them, that they have the value, and to let them know that we value them and what they bring to the table, and that they do have something to offer and to contribute.
Absolutely, and I think that's important as a pastor to start as the head to value the people that are involved with the administration. It's so key, and let them know they have an input, and to from the eldest to the most senior person to the newest person, and it's a key component. And then what that teaching does is that allows them to be exposed to new ideas, and also want to share it with someone else to say, hey, you know, we've taken down the barriers. We can get together, and we can come up with a best plan to deal with the issue at hand. Is that people need to be taught the right thing. People need to be taught, and you know, there's various ways of doing it, and you know, you can contribute. And all we ask is that we be accountable to God, we be accountable to each other, that we would you know, not just be teaching, but be living, you know, what we've been taught. Dr. Graham, it's a big subject this morning, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that, you know, a lot of times you hear people say, well, we've always done it this way. And in an instance where there's this perfect world and everything's going wonderful, okay. But the fact of the matter is that we can always get better, the church can always get better, and that being the case, if we're open to new ideas, then that means we're open to new possibilities. And sometimes we get so comfortable in the comfort zone that we're not even worried about the new possibilities. We're not even worried about the fact that there's a whole demographic that we're missing. The fact of the matter is, like you said, the black man, the man, is missing from the church. The leader, the teacher, is missing. And so there definitely is a need. And the funny thing is, who is trying to do something to correct the problem? You know, we know that it exists, but what's being done to fix it?
Yeah, that's the question. That's the question. Who's willing to get out there and do something to teach it? Because I know once it was taught me, once I got it, you know, I became on fire and a force to reckon with. You know, once I got it. And I've seen the other men the same way. Once they got it, it's like, oh my gosh, look out! and that's the thing with God. Once they get it, and I think that's why the enemy wants us to remain ignorant, because he realized that once they get it, it's awesome. You know, you can relate that to the history of the slave in America. You know, trying to keep him ignorant, trying to keep him unlearned, trying to keep him in a country where he was a foreigner and didn't know the language or the lay of the land. But oh my gosh, once he got educated and once he learned the lay of the land, you know, now he's able to rule nations, you know. And that was through education and understanding, you know, the law, understanding opportunities that were allotted them, even during difficult situations and struggle, and be willing to say, hey, this is as far as God will allow me to go, but I can lay a foundation for my son and my children to go to the next level and not be selfish with it, but be at a point where you're saying, hey, this is necessary for them to move forward, so I'm going to make the sacrifice to help them to move forward to the place where God wants them to be. Dr. Grass?
Well, you hear the key word there, sacrifice. Sacrifice. Giving of ourselves for somebody else.
Yeah.
And that is something that is so hard for some folk to do. Some folk have the mindset, but nobody did it for me. I had to figure it out. I had to do it. I've even heard parents say that in regards to their children. Mm-hmm. Well, I had to figure it out, so, you know, they'll figure it out. But sacrifice for the next generation.
Wow. Yeah, man. it's something to you know, to be able to articulate that, and I appreciate your input, because it's helped me today to get a better focus on what, you know, as a leader, as a pastor, I need to share with those that are around me to help this part of the body of Christ move forward. Like you said, might be a couple of crazy individuals to address the problem, and you know, we just can't not do nothing anymore. Like, we have to address and partner with folks that are already doing it, and come alongside with those who are willing to say, hey, you guys got some good ideas, so let's partner together to address it, make the sacrifice, and make it like Deuteronomy is saying, that, you know, it will be a life thing, something that it's a part of us, not something that we have to think about, but it's just something that we do. Any last words before we close out in prayer?
No, just that it's time to get to work. So we got to do something. I mean, there's a problem, and the problem needs fixing.
Right now. All right, let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you again for your word, this first word, God, that has touched our hearts, has pricked our hearts, God, that has burdened us and has purposed us to go to action, God. God, we just pray that your wisdom, through the power of your spirit, would guide us, that we would be an example, God, that we would go to work, and that we would make a difference in our homes, in our churches, in our community. We thank you for the input of Dr. Grimes and everyone that's involved. And Father, we pray that everything that's said and done would always be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's going to do us for the first word. We pray that everyone has an awesome and safe worship experience today. We'll talk to you on next week with the first word.